Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
In Ireland, as we get you ready for the big game tonight, Chargers at Chiefs on Amazon at 5 o'clock. Sedano and Cap will be along at 4. So, Andy, the Dodgers a couple nights ago clinched the division, and everybody's very excited, in particular about Craig Kimbrel. Kimbrel hadn't been scored on in nearly a month as the Dodgers closer. And he had 9 straight scoreless appearances until last night. Now, it coincided, the reason we're playing Let It Go is it coincided with his daughter and his wife changing his walk-in music from Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child of Mine to this. And ever since they started playing Let It Go, Craig Kimbrel has been unhittable until last night. Now, keep in mind, they're on the road in Arizona, so no walk-in music. They don't play Let It Go for the visiting player. And Sergio Alcantara hit a walk-off homer in the 10th inning, and the Dodgers lost. He's been pitching so well that his ERA went from 4.5 to 3.7 during that scoreless 9-game streak. So, Greg Bergman, resident Dodger expert, where are you at on Kimbrel? If the playoffs started today, do you hand him the ball to close tonight?
Yeah, I think I do still. It was like 9 2/3. And last night's home run was against the number 9 hitter. He didn't look all that great in the just even coming out in the first place. Dave Roberts said after the game that he doesn't pitch well when he starts with that runner on second, which is kind of garbage, but still. Excuse me. I just thought it was a pretty good pitch. The location was up and in, and I just thought that he got a hold of it. Like, he reached up and he got it. It was just a good at-bat. So
Andy,
I don't really blame him there.
I'm sorry, Greg.
No, you're fine.
Andy, how about you? If the playoffs were today, does Craig Kimbrel close for you tonight?
Only at home.
When you can play Let It Go?
When he can play Let It Go.
That's actually a really good answer. Greg, let me give you some numbers that might change your mind. All right? Since the All-Star break, and keep in mind that until last night, Kimbrel was pitching pretty well. He is the 6th best reliever based on ERA that the Dodgers have. Here are ERAs since the All-Star break. Evan Phillips, 0.93. Alex Vesia, 0.95.
He's got like a 20-inning streak of
nothing. Yeah, he's been quietly great. This surprised me. David Price, 1.13.
He's on the IL, but he's been very good.
Chris Martin, who has the advantage of being 6'8", 2.04. Caleb Ferguson, 2.37. And then Kimbrel, 3.54. And keep in mind that 3.54, Andy, is down from where he was earlier in the year. If you have those other options, Phillips, Vesia, Price, Martin, Ferguson, we're still giving the ball to Kimbrel, even at home?
At home, absolutely. He's a machine. You play Let It Go, you put him out on the mound, he's unhittable.
I think you may be overrating the effect of Let It Go in a major league performance.
Really?
Maybe.
You don't think there's been a big enough sample size? He's been a different pitcher with Let It Go. An absolutely different guy.
By the way, Vesia, Greg, hasn't allowed a run in his last 20 outings. He has 30 strikeouts in 18 innings. So Vesia has been really, really good.
Let him close on the road.
The other thing that came out last night was Dave Roberts was talking in the media, and they asked him about Tony Gonsolin. And he said, we think Tony might be able to pitch in the postseason, but we don't know what his role is. In other words, suggesting, Greg, that Gonsolin maybe go into the bullpen, is that something or nothing?
I think it's something, absolutely. If that's what the way that they go with it, in 2020 when he was coming out of the pen, or 2021, he was not very good coming out of the pen. We've already seen it was a different, smaller sample size, different time. He's a different pitcher now, but Tony Gonsolin was not very good coming out of the pen. I don't really think it'll happen that way. If he's ready to go, I think they make him a starter, because also they're one of their best right-handers, including Dustin May. So if he doesn't start, then you're going to go Urias, Kershaw, Anderson, that's left. So you're not really being able to break it up that much, and you know how they like to go that left, right, left, right.
Right. I should add to this conversation, guys, that Brustar Graterol, Blake Treinen, Yency Almonte, and Tommy Canley. All have a second half ERA of 0.0, but they haven't pitched enough to really, you know.
I mean, couldn't they do something, Greg, where Gonsolin
Canley looked good last night.
Gonsolin could start, but he's just on a short
like an
leash.
Opener?
Sure, and then you might be able to back him up with Dustin
Ray. Right, like put him in a role that he's
with Andrew Heaney.
Yeah, put him in a role he's familiar with, and if he doesn't have the arm strength and that forearm to go six innings, seven innings, let him pitch four. Yeah. Hopefully they're just four good innings.
I will say this, Greg. I think they need to keep putting Kimbrel out there in these remaining 20 games just to basically audition him for the postseason. And if he goes on another run like he had with those nine games without scoring, then I think you're good. But if he goes reverts back to what he was earlier in the season where he was just a dumpster fire, then you got to go with somebody else.
Well, I mean, yeah, if this home run was just something that's just going to start him back on the path that he was on before, then yeah, then absolutely we don't need that guy anymore.
And by the way, Trey Turner and Freddie Friedman were not in the lineup last night. They, you know, basically played the whole year. I think Turner took one game off, and Freeman until last night hadn't taken any off.
Yeah, and Freeman was sitting in the dugout and just like staring, ready to go.
Kind of like they probably celebrated too hard the night before.
Yeah, but it was always going to happen. As soon as they clinched the division, Freeman was getting a day off.
Do you guys like that rest over rust?
I mean, it's one game. You got so much time between now and October.
Yeah, October 11th is right, probably going to be their first playoff game.
We're so far ahead of it. I don't even think that's a conversation right now. Like, you've got a month. That's just a night off. Like,
But the point is, he hasn't taken any nights off until last night.
Right. You might as well just give it to him. I'm just saying, we're so far out, I don't even think rest versus rust is a thing. Like, it's just too far gone from it.
Except that you could, theoretically, rest him for a month.
They're not going to do that, though. I mean, you're not going to rest guys for an entire month. But in all honesty, if, say, Trey Turner or Freddie Freeman are tired, I think you could give them a whole week and it wouldn't matter. Really,
a week is one thing, but if you're let's see what they do. They're not playing tonight, and then Greg, they go to San Francisco tomorrow.
Yep, they go to San Francisco tomorrow, and then they're back on Monday.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they play this. They've obviously got some options because they clinched the division before any other team had clinched a playoff.
Yeah,
spot.
I mean, you wouldn't rest them excessively if there wasn't a need for it. I'm just saying, like, if these guys actually are tired, you've got the luxury of giving them multiple days off, and it doesn't matter.
Hey, Bergman, could I make an argument? I may be guilty of being a little bit of a homer here. Can I make an argument that Julio Urias should be considered for the Cy Young Award?
No, you're not at all. He absolutely should be.
Second half, he's been as good as anybody,
he's
right?
He's been as good as anybody and better than anybody in the second half. To the point where he only has five outings this entire year where he's given up more than two runs. He hasn't given up more than two runs since June 10th, I think it was, when I looked at it earlier today. He not only should he be considered, he should be the front runner right now.
Well, what's interesting is if the Dodgers win, they're going to break the record for most wins in Los Angeles, which is 106 is the most wins they've ever won in a season. Andy, if they win 110 games, which looks like it's possible, they really don't have an MVP candidate. Paul Schmidt, Goldschmidt's going to get that. Trey Turner and Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts have all been great, but they're not as good as Goldschmidt. If they don't win any major awards, that's kind of weird. They would win 110 games, win the National League going away, have the best record in baseball, and not win any major awards.
I mean, it could speak to just how incredible their depth is, where like everybody lifts each other. But honestly, I'm saying this as a non-homer. I like the Dodgers, but I'm not like a fan the way you or Greg are. You look at Urias's stats, like alongside Alcantara, other than innings, there's nothing you can give him over Urias. Like, Urias's stats are flat out, I think, other than innings pitched, better than Alcantara.
So the only thing that's going for Alcantara is that it's been so long. He's been the front runner since the beginning of the year, essentially. He has four complete games. He goes into the seventh inning consistently. And so it is the innings. But in over his last, I think, six or eight starts, he's given up like 35 runs. He's starting to give up runs right now. And also, I mean, he hasn't been as consistent as Urias has. And also, the Dodgers, they pull Urias. If you look at his actual game logs, he'll go five innings, six innings with 75 pitches, and they pull him. He could go longer, but they're trying to save his arm.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's really no real argument. Uh-uh. I mean, not like Alcantara hasn't been great. He's been really good. I'm just saying, put Urias's lines against his, innings pitched is really the thing that you could look at and say,
yeah.
Urias doesn't have that.
Complete
but that's in
games.
Part.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. I honestly 100% believe, as much as being a homer as I am, I do think Urias should be the Cy Young front runner right now.
Yeah, maybe. It's something absolutely to keep an eye on.
See.
See, says.
Well said, sir.
Jorge. But
Julio.
Urias, by the way, his Ks per nine, actually better.
Good.
Contreras.
And it'll be interesting to see if they rest him down the stretch at all to save him for the postseason.
Might as well.
And if it, well, but see, if you do, it probably takes him out. Like, Gonsolin was the favorite to win the Cy Young until he got hurt.
Right.
If you rest Urias and take him off the board, then you probably hand it to Alcantara.
He's got, though, Urias is going to have more opportunities to win a Cy Young than he'll have to be on a team this good. You want to go after the series ahead of the Cy. You just do. I mean, he's so young, he's going to have other chances. Teams this good, even by Dodger standards, are rare.
All right, coming up, Leonardo DiCaprio might have a new girlfriend.
Ooh.
And she fits the mold, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that next. Also coming up later, Game of Games. It's Bergman's game today. Game of Games is close. I've taken a 3-1 lead over everybody else, so I really could start to lap the field if I can win this game today. But Bergman, you always come up with games that are against me.
No, this isn't against you.
All right,
you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. That's still to come. Mason in Ireland, Andy Kamenitsky in for May, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we got Game of Games coming up for you in about 20 minutes, so stay tuned for that. I saw this story, Andy, and it's something everyone in Hollywood is talking about. Somebody made a chart on Reddit about Leonardo DiCaprio. He just broke up with another girlfriend.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah. as Chris Russo calls him, Leonardo DiCaprio. His girlfriend was 25. She turned 25 this year. Now, according to this chart, DiCaprio, who's 47... has never dated a woman over the age of 25, and his average age of girlfriends is 22.9. The chart spans more than 20 years and 8 relationships from 99 to 2022, to right now. So in other words, DiCaprio, in that 23-year time frame, has had 8 relationships, and no one has ever been over the age of 25. And the reason this is significant is that he's been seen lately with Gigi Hadid, who's a model, pretty famous one, and she's 27.
Ooh.
So he's about, now she's still 20 years younger than he is. But here's my question. Why is this a story? In other words, why do we care how old, unless he was dating people that were underage, why do we care about how old the girlfriends of Leonardo DiCaprio are?
I mean, we care in part because it's gossip, and we love gossip, and we love gossip about famous people.
Right.
It's been this way forever. As far as the age difference,
but I mean,
thing,
Frank Sinatra used to do this all the time.
Right. But I mean, times change. Like, standards change. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, let's be honest with Dr. Buss, the dating habits.
My hero.
Right. But the dating habits that he had would be talked about differently now than they were in the 80s, in the 90s, even the 2000s, because things evolve.
Okay, I don't disagree with you, but I guess my question is, why do people, as long as it's a consenting relationship,
yes,
why do people care about ages? Like,
okay,
if for example, When Kim Kardashian was dating Pete Davidson, she was like 10 years older than he was.
Okay, here's actually, I think, when it comes down to when you're talking about DiCaprio, this specific thing, it's because women deal enough with being told that the older they get, the less appealing they are, the less they bring to the table in terms of attractiveness, the less a man is going to be pursuing them, that they're going to be traded in for a younger model anyway. That's the joke that always happens.
Okay.
So when you see someone like Leonardo DiCaprio, continually trading in for a younger model when these younger models are pretty young to begin with, like, mm-hmm. you know, he can't trade for much younger before it starts becoming either straight up creepy or potentially illegal.
Right.
That's where I think a lot of people start finding it just skeevy. They just find it creepy after a while where it...
Do you? Mason does. Mason talks about this openly. It's a turnoff to him.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I think it's a little bit creepy, in all honesty. Like, there's a where it just starts feeling like after a while, you're just... I'm not going to say praying because these women are too old for praying.
Correct.
But there's an element of you're starting to flirt with dirty old man. You start flirting with, as Chris Rock said, the old guy in the club.
Mm-hmm.
You start becoming the old man in the club.
So who looks worse in your eyes in this scenario, DiCaprio or the women?
I would say DiCaprio because he's the one with the most optionality. I mean, we know this. He's one of the most famous movie stars on the planet. He's been a famous movie star for, you know, 3 decades plus.
Yeah, for his whole
plus.
Life, basically.
You know, he's got a lot of different ways he can go. Plus, it's always this. Like, you know, again, that the world would be shocked that he's with someone merely 20 years younger than
right.
him. Like, you know, let me make this clear. If this is the worst thing you can say about Leonardo DiCaprio, it doesn't make him a bad person. Like, I think the judgment should only go so far. And, you know, for a guy who's lived in this public of a life, he's had very few screw-ups. So I think we should maintain some type of, you know, rational thinking about this. But if you're asking me if it's kind of creepy, yeah, the answer is it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it just seems... I don't understand why this is a big deal. I just never have. I mean, if as long as the two people in the relationship
none
are...
None of it's a big deal. I mean, yeah. Like, this is not a big deal. Like, you know, this is not an important thing that's happening in this world. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it just seems odd, I guess is my point. Okay, let's pivot to this. I was trying to... Thank you, Jorge. I was trying to find the story about... this weekend, Auburn is hosting Penn State. And so Penn State found out that the airport, which is right next to Auburn, is mysteriously unavailable. Okay, they're working on the runway. So Penn State has now been forced to land an hour away, change their hotel reservation. You know, it's a logistical headache. And at first, I thought, well, you know, that happens. You know, it's just man, blah, blah, blah. Then I did a little digging and found out that years and years ago, like 50 years ago, Auburn did the same thing. They had a football game. They made up a story that the airport had closed, put the other team through a logistical nightmare, and went on to win the game 45-0. Do you think, let's say for the sake of the story, Auburn is trolling Penn State, okay, that the airport's fine, they're making them jump through hoops to get a competitive advantage. Is that smart on the part of Auburn, or is it sleazy?
It might be both. I mean, if they win the game, if they throw Penn State, you know, out of whack, whatever, it may be smart. Doesn't mean it wasn't sleazy. It doesn't have to be an A or a B. It can be both.
Here's a little more background on it. This was in The Athletic. Montgomery Regional Airport, which is right next to Auburn, is under construction.
Sounds so much like an Auburn-adjacent yeah. airport.
It has one-third of the runway closed. That means Penn State's charter flight wouldn't be able to land at the airport on Friday, that's tomorrow, as previously expected. So the plan now is Penn State's going to fly into Columbus, Georgia, travel 90 miles to Montgomery by police escort, and change hotels. They're also looking in. There's an Air Force base in Montgomery. They're going to see if they can do it there. Now, I've always thought that you want to treat your opponent like you would want to be treated. The minute you start doing the old Celtics crap,
right,
turning up the heat in the locker room, no hot water in the showers, pulling the fire alarm at hotels, I think you're tempting fate.
You are tempting
fate. I wouldn't do it.
Here's the thing, though. If this is Auburn deliberately screwing with Penn State, mm-hmm. and you know they're in cahoots with this airport and messing up Penn State, you know they're under some type of work or whatever, they need to go all the way. And like the minute Penn State arrives, all of that work being done at the airport needs to just vanish. Like it's done. Like you time this thing perfectly. Like if you're going to do this, if you're going to be a jerk, be a jerk.
Yeah, I think it's dirty pool.
Dirty pool?
I think that you can't.
I'm just saying, offer yourself no plausible deniability whatsoever. You lean into this thing. If you're going to, don't half measure it. If you're going to be a jerk, be an out and proud jerk.
Well, we're going to find out because they fly tomorrow and we'll see where that plane ends up landing. All right, when we come back, Greg Popovich has a reputation of being kind of a jerk. But then he does something like this, and you say, maybe he's not. We'll explain next. Mason in Ireland, Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace, ESPN LA.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, Mason in Ireland, Andy Kamenetsky is in for Mason. Andy, as you may know, the WNBA finals are going on right now. The Las Vegas Aces are up 2-0 in the Connecticut Sun. If the Aces win one more game, they win it. It would be the first time they've won it, and it would be Becky Hammon's first. Now, Becky Hammon is the coach of the Aces. It would be her first title. She just took over as the coach.
I was
going to
say, she'd be 1-1.
Right. And they're, I think, one of the most complicated legacies in the NBA belongs to Greg Popovich. He is indisputably one of the great coaches of all time. He's headed straight to the Hall of Fame. He's won 5 titles. He just led Team USA to a gold medal. He is, especially to the media, cold, indifferent, and bordering on a jerk just because he can be. Mm-hmm. It's always caused me to be like, I'm not a huge Pop fan.
Sure.
I'm not a huge Bill Belichick fan. I just think it's easier to be nice to people than it is to be a jerk. And I think both those guys can be jerks just because they're good at their job and they're allowed to be. But every time I take that stance on Popovich, I talk to people that have worked with him. Like Mike Brown worked right next to him when Mike Brown became the Lakers. He goes, boy, do you have this wrong. He's like great to his players, great to his assistants. You talk to people who are in the foxhole with him, and he'll do anything for you. I've talked to guys who played for Pomona Pitzer when Pop was their coach in the early 80s, and they won like 2 games.
Yeah.
He still calls them. So what Popovich strikes me as a guy who's playing a little bit of a game with the media, he's like, I think his attitude is basically, if you're going to make me talk to the media, NBA, I'm going to do it my way. And then so the sideline reporters and the media and the guys like me that got to go cover them are often on the wrong end of beratement. David Locke, who you work for, yeah, over at Locked On Lakers.
The podcast that appears 5 days a week, John.
Beautiful. And can be found anywhere where podcasts
anywhere
are found.
Anywhere where podcasts are found. There's never a paywall. There's also a YouTube component that you can subscribe to as well.
All right.
Hey, aren't you the guy who does the Lakers dance party hoedown on your phone?
There you go. So I've seen Pop just be a jerk to David just to be a jerk.
Yeah.
Several times. So, by the way, Sedano, who's going to be in here to play Game of Games, made him laugh once.
I know.
Sedano was like doing sidelines for ESPN one time, and he like took it on as a challenge of, okay, I'm not only not going to let him tear my head off, I'm going to try and make him laugh, and he pulled it off.
Brian, my brother Brian, maybe his proudest moment in his entire career was one time either in a pre- or post-game scrum when the Lakers were playing San Antonio. They were in town. He's with Pop. He asked Pop a question, and Pop said, that's a great question. And went into like this elaborate response.
If I was Brian, I'd make that my ringtone. All right.
Seriously, he's incredibly excited.
So to be fair, I think all my criticisms and the way I've lined this up is about Pop is accurate. But every once in a while, he'll do something that you'll say, man, that's the great guy that everybody tells you about. So the Las Vegas Aces are hosting the Connecticut Sun in game two of the NBA Finals. He shows up unannounced to watch Becky Hammon, who was one of his assistants for 7 years. So this is the hands down the best coach in the NBA, leaving Texas, flying to Las Vegas, and Becky sees him there and goes, well, would you say something to the team? And then he agrees to do that. And there was a camera in there with a microphone. And when you see stuff like this, you say, well, maybe Pop is a great guy, and guys like me in the media are just going to have to admit it. Here's Popovich talking to the Aces 2 nights ago.
No. I always do what she says.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's what I end up doing. What are you doing, Joe? I don't know what, you know, you don't need me, that's for sure. But it was great watching you guys play. It's been great watching you on TV. And the way you execute, the way you play physically, it's just beautiful to watch, honestly. No, you just play great basketball. And it's about consistency. So you got to keep it going. And for me, I always tell my teams the sweetest wins are which ones?
The ones on the road.
The ones on the road, baby. The ones on the road, and that's where you're going. They're the sweetest.
He didn't have to do that, all right? I think every time a guy like Greg Popovich shows up and puts his face on the WNBA, it helps the league.
Absolutely.
I think Ty Lue was at this game. Chris Paul was at this game. There were a handful of NBA guys who showed up to support these
girls. Here's the thing. NBA players, I'd say pretty across the board, big WNBA fans.
Yeah, LeBron goes to a lot of games. Kobe used to take Gigi to a lot of those games.
And they're not doing this like in a performative way. Like they really genuinely love the WNBA.
So I guess this would be my question, and you're a good person to ask because you've covered him from afar. What's Greg Popovich's legacy when he's done? Because he's closer to the end than he is to the beginning. How is he going to be remembered by fans and by media?
As one of the all-time greatest coaches ever in any sport?
With no asterisk.
No asterisk.
Even though he has shouted down many, many, many people over the years for just because he can.
But here's the thing, though. If that's the worst thing you can come up with, you ain't coming up with much.
Right.
Like, the worst thing you can say about Greg Popovich,
Phil Jackson was a better coach than Pop, and he never did that.
No, but Phil would get snarky.
Snarky, but not mean.
You know what? I would say sometimes, depending on who you were and depending on the question that was asked, Phil may not have been as outright hostile, but
right.
Phil could get haughty and arrogant in ways that was essentially just as mean.
So it's degrees.
It's not even that. It's delivery. Sometimes Phil would be just as mean and arrogant, but he would do it in a way that had a punchline, as opposed to Greg Popovich just being kind of brusque to deal with. But again, if this is the worst thing you can come up with, Pop, like if that's the worst
thing.
And again,
if you talk to people who have been on his teams and in the room with him, they will say they're effusive, Andy. They're glowing. Type of guy that picks up the tab for dinner, no matter where you go. We'll call and check on you all the time. Monty Williams, the coach of the Suns, Pop played for and was an assistant for, swears by him.
Oh, yeah. And this, though, lets you know that what happened with Becky Hammon, that's not an unusual thing. That's the norm. Like, this is
what there were rumors that did not end well, that Pop and Becky didn't see eye to eye, that she ended up leaving the NBA because she thought she'd never move up the ladder. And then you see this, and you're like, well, they're good.
Well, I mean, look, she may have felt like she'd never move up the ladder, but that doesn't mean that she and Popovich don't have some kind of respect, or that Popovich doesn't want her to do well in their career. I mean, like, it's a complicated, cutthroat place, the NBA.
Yeah.
And especially for coaches. Like, it's brutal. For everybody out there. But Popovich is actually, it's funny because he's got, you know, what you were talking about, that relationship with the media. The truth is, Pop has a reputation as a total softy.
Depending on who you talk to. Yeah, depending on who you talk to. I think if you talk to David Locke, you will find a different answer.
But other than that one setting, than the one setting in pre and post game or sideline, which, to be honest, I think sometimes he sees it as being funny. He just doesn't always think about the idea that other people, this is their actual job, and they're trying to get information from him. And I think he thinks this stuff is largely just stupid.
Yeah, I think that you may be right there. Okay, coming up next, Game of Games. Sedano's going to come in and play with us.
Excellent.
Greg Bergman has the game. And didn't you just tell me, I think it was Lindsay Theory, who's on the ground in Kansas City, is saying that J.C. Jackson's going to play tonight?
J.C. Jackson is supposed to play tonight, yes.
For the Chargers, so that gives them another defensive back. Anita Marks was on here earlier. She says Chargers are winning this game outright. She said, I know everybody's picking Kansas City and they're favored by 4, but the Chargers are going to win. We'll see. Kickoff about an hour and 20 minutes away, and Game of Games is next. Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
All right, Mason's not here today, but we are amply covered by Andy Kamenetsky, and joining us now is the host of Sedano and Cap, George Sedano. How you doing, George?
I'm good, and thank you for having me on Game of Games for the first day of Hispanic Heritage Month.
I didn't even know.
Yes, it had to be either me or Pepe's, I would imagine.
Wow. Yeah. And we didn't get Pepe this week because Michael's in Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
Somehow, and you'll appreciate this.
Are you accusing this of tokenism,
No,
George?
I'm just saying I appreciate it.
I'm happy he's here.
Yeah, just want
to
make sure.
George, to the surprise of no one, the Lakers are doing this. Michael sends me like 4 videos a day. He's having the time of his life at the Lakers Showtime reunion.
Yeah. Is Riley Maui making them run yet or no?
They did have a practice today.
That's
in a
funny
gym. Michael tweeted out a picture of him and Kareem, and he said, the greatest ever with Kareem.
Yeah.
Yeah, like only Michael could do.
Man, the pictures from this, like Magic's been tweeting them out, they're so great.
Yeah, and Michael's like, but George, in typical Michael Thompson fashion, this has been very well orchestrated and produced. So they have a picture of these guys that looks like an NBA team picture with everybody
lined up
in the perfect rows.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Michael. He flew all the way over there and he missed the group picture.
I mean,
picture.
For the love of God.
I know. It's like to the surprise.
And then,
and then he
wonders why Riles gives him the side eye whenever you guys go to Miami.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Greg Bergman has the game today. Bergman, what do you got?
All right. So it's going to be just what's the movie? I'm going to name a bunch of actors and you name the movie.
Ooh. Okay.
Is it Name Is Your Buzzer?
Oh, John's going to crush this. Andy's really good at this, too.
And it's Hispanic Heritage Month, so you may have an advantage.
Maybe there'll be some Hispanic films.
Not all these movies are from the 70s.
Okay. Hey, you guys, no old guy jokes. Yeah. Jorge, Andy, Sedano, and me. 4 players. Let's go, Greg.
Name Is Your Buzzer. Johnny, you're going to keep
track. Yeah, I got you.
Thank you. All right, so the first one is James Caan. Robert Duvall.
Andy.
Godfather. That is right.
Damn it.
Oh, dang. That was easy.
When you said James Caan, I immediately thought the program because of sports and it's football season.
Oh, man. I should have done
Rollerball.
That would have been good. All right. This one's a little bit tougher. Wiley Wiggins.
Ooh. Andy.
Andy.
Dazed and Confused.
Oh,
wow.
He's only been in one movie.
Wow.
I didn't think anybody was going to know who that was.
I didn't even know who Wiley Wiggins was.
We may have a shutout situation here.
Wiley Wiggins is the kid.
Okay. Yeah, he's the kid. He touches his nose over and over and over again like 15 times. All right, number three. Tone Loke. Courtney Cox.
Andy. Ace Ventura.
Pet
Detective.
Jeez,
absolutely right.
This might be very ugly.
I try to make these like kind of difficult. Yeah. All right, well, I guess not. This is going to go well. Number four, Gil Bellows, William Sadler, Morgan Freeman, Tim Robbins.
Ireland.
Oh,
Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption is the right answer. Yeah.
Okay, 3-1.
You know what? I'm just going to start guessing when I know.
If you know one person, go ahead. All right. Number five, Lori Petty.
Ireland.
Three,
okay, it could be one of two things. League of Their Own.
No.
Okay.
So, Lori Petty.
Yeah.
Anthony Kiedis.
Andy.
Point Break.
That was the other one. All right, 4-1.
Gary Busey, Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze. All right, number six. Donald Faison. Brittany Murphy.
Andy.
Oh, no. Sedano after.
If she gets it wrong.
Andy. Clueless. Yes. Clueless is the right answer.
Wow.
I saw Donald Faison a couple. This is a long time ago now. I saw him in Sherman Oaks, that public school restaurant.
Yeah.
Right across from the Galleria Mall. I ran into him there a long, long time ago.
Oh, nice.
He was there with his family.
Did you say Petey?
I did not.
Play for me if you fumble the football. I will break my foot off in your hind part.
I left him alone, but it was cool to see him having dinner with his family.
All right, number seven, Leah Thompson.
Sedano. Back to the Future.
Back to the Future is the right answer.
Sedano's on the board.
That's my movie.
That was four Briones.
What the hell?
A different Jorge got it.
That's right.
Yes.
All right, number eight. Paul Walker.
Sedano. Fast and the Furious.
No.
Oh.
Paul Walker.
Oh, I know.
Matthew Lillard. Rachel Lee Cook.
Andy.
She's all that. And then Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah, that is good. 6-1 Andy's up. Jesus. How many of these are there?
There's nine. The ninth one is my tiebreaker, so let's do that.
Yeah, let's just do it.
Just do that and get it over
this. Has been a boat race.
What's up, King?
Number nine is Drew Barrymore.
Sedano. 50 First Dates.
No.
Oh.
So, Jorge Rigman.
Yeah, Jorge.
E.T.
She wasn't E.T.
That's a really good guess. No, it's wrong.
Ireland. Never Been Kissed.
No, not it.
Damn it.
Poor saps.
I mean, you're going to get this right here. It's Skeet Ulrich, Courtney Cox, Nev Campbell.
Oh, come on,
David Arquette.
Andy.
Oh.
Little movie called Scream.
Scream is the right answer. There you guys
go. So this is how bad of a boat race this was.
By the way, Drew Barrymore was crazy because she's done so many movies. We could have all gotten it wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Ireland
kind of
won.
To go first with her.
Sedano won.
Andy.
Jorge, 0.
Oh, man.
Andy Kamenetsky, 7. That was a complete beat. That was Buffalo Bills over the Rams beatdown.
This is like the Lakers versus the Nets in the finals back in the day.
That was impressive.
When you got Wiley Wiggins, that's it. That was it.
Then you knew it was going to be trouble. By the way, Game of Games is powered by Call Jacob. Winning matters. That's why after an accident, you got to go to calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. George, before you walked in, we were talking about Greg Popovich, who did a really nice thing. He went to Becky Hammon's locker room, and that's it. He has a complicated relationship with the media. But you made him laugh once.
I did.
Do you remember how?
Okay, so let me just explain to people about Greg Popovich. Clearly, he doesn't love those sideline interviews.
Right.
But, and you know this, John, because you've been around forever, and we get the coaches off camera for like 15 minutes, each one when we do a game. And he's incredible in those settings, like just unbelievable. And it could be about basketball. It could be about anything, okay? And then I remember specifically it's happened to me twice. One time Mike Breen said this to me, and that day that you're talking about that I made him laugh, Doris Burke said this to me.
Yeah, he loves Doris. He does look out for her.
And he said, but he's crushed her too.
Okay.
And she said to me, don't you dare let him fool you. What he just did in there will not translate out there on the floor.
Good tip.
So I said, okay. So I said to myself, in my head, I'm like, I'm only going to ask him one question, and I'm just going to tell him.
Because you get two for people who don't know.
And I'm going to tell him I'm going to move on, and oh, do you have it? Okay, go ahead. Play it.
Here with Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs. A lot of emotion, obviously, tonight with DeMar's return. How do you feel he's performed in the first quarter?
He's done well.
All right, I feel like I've come out ahead here. Do you want to just end it on this one?
I was looking forward to a second question.
Okay, well, we can do that. Derek White has played for the first time in a while. How closely do you monitor his minutes?
Pretty closely.
Thank you, Pop. Appreciate it.
It's been fun.
Yeah, no doubt. Same here.
That was great.
And then he laughed, he slapped me on the ass, and kept it moving.
Yeah, that was great. I've seen, and George, you know how this goes. Sideline reporting, particularly at the network level, is a lot of times that's your entry into let's throw somebody into the fire and see how they do.
Yeah.
So since I was sideline reporter for the Lakers and the Lakers are on a lot of TV, I would sit next to whoever's doing sideline, and Rick Bucher was doing it once.
Yeah.
And Pop just crushed him.
Yeah.
And Rick comes back and it literally looked like he had lost his dog.
I believe it.
And I just went, I don't know what the hell just happened.
Yeah. It's really bad.
Yeah.
It has been and he softened up like he did I guess the play-in game this year. They were in the play-in game. And he had Cassidy. And he gave her full sentences. Like, I texted her. I was like, he gave you full sentences.
Good for her.
So, I think he's softened a little bit.
Let me ask you
what
I asked Andy.
Yeah.
What's his legacy when he's done? Because he's closer to the end than he is in the beginning. I think he's spent a lot of time being a jerk just because he could. But he's such a good coach.
Yeah.
And if you talk to people like Mike Brown, I used to know Hank Egan, who was one of his assistants for a really long time, who was the head coach at USD. These guys swear by him.
Yeah. He is as loyal as they come.
All right, so you think his legacy will be favorable no matter what?
Yes, loyal, one of the better tacticians we've seen in the sport.
His basketball coach reputation is impeccable.
Yeah, he's an incredible tactician. And look, he was able to, now people would say, well, look what he's doing now. He's not doing anything now, but he got that team to evolve multiple times. Cause remember at the beginning, it was David Robinson, and Tim Duncan. They were playing through the post. And then as the years evolved, then all of a sudden they started playing through Tony more.
Yeah. Which was a conscious decision.
Tony and Manu, right? Were the guys that got more touches than Timmy. And then they eventually evolved into Kawhi.
It's the dirty little secret about Pop. He's not flexible about the idea of what he wants his culture to be. This is the culture. You have to buy into the culture.
Correct.
He is extremely flexible about what he puts on the court.
Schematically, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you talk to people, like you talk to Monty Williams, the Suns coach.
Oh, man.
Swears by Pop.
Yeah, loves him. The guys, look, I mean, I do a lot of games with PJ Carlissimo on radio.
Same thing.
And, you know, he loves him. Like, it's just like, he says that those years he was with the Spurs as an assistant coach for Pop were some of the most fun years he's ever had.
You just struck chord. Like, I'm a big Phil Jackson guy. Like, people say, well, Phil and Pop are comparable. They're really not. They met five times in the playoffs. Phil went 4-1 against him. Phil's won 11 titles. Pop's won 5. I get offended as a Laker fan when people say those two are equal. I think Phil's better. But at the same time, look at coaching trees. All right.
Oh,
Phil really doesn't have one.
No.
Pop is all over the league.
You
like even Steve Kerr, who played for both Pop and Phil, will tell you that
Pop is his guy.
Pop, he kind of swears by Pop.
So when you know Kerr was in the conference finals, I did sidelines on ESPN Radio this year between Dallas and Golden State, and Kerr, I mean, was telling us how he was having dinner with Pop during that stretch.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I mean, you can choose either one. I don't think there is a truly right answer. I don't care which one you choose. I don't think head-to-head, though, is the best way to judge it because
the players have so much to do with it.
Pop never had a team with as good of a foundation as Kobe and Shaq.
Or Jordan and Pippen.
Right.
Well, in 2000...
I mean, you can make the case for, like, Riley when he was playing the Knicks, when he was with the Knicks in all those years. Like,
Kobe, the one year they beat him, Andy, in 2003... when the Spurs knocked the Lakers out in the second round.
Yeah.
That was prime Duncan, prime Parker, prime Manu.
And Kobe and Shaq had also been to three straight finals.
Yeah, they're gassed.
I thought that was a fair fight.
Right, but I mean, like Kobe and Shaq as your foundation, Pop has never had a team with that type of foundation.
No. Okay, let's get Scott Kaplan in here, do a little super crosstalk. All right, super crosstalk. Gang's all here in studio today. Sedano and Cap. And so I was driving home yesterday, and I was listening to you guys. And
I thought you were listening to the PTI podcast.
Yeah. They did not download.
What did we say?
They did not download it in time. So I was listening to you guys.
We called you a party pooper.
You pointed out two things. You said we don't like it when Ireland runs Supercross talk because he talks about sports. We don't want to talk about sports.
Yeah.
And he's serious all the time, so we don't talk about serious. And ooh. Cap says that when I say I'm going to play something is the red flag. that means they're about to get
well,
so.
Well, actually, that for us, that's the white flag.
Yeah. So, Jorge, pull up the news report from Utah.
No.
Okay, so this is enough, I think, non-sports.
Okay.
It's enough Sedano and Cap.
Okay.
And it's interesting. Two girls showed up at a Utah football game, Utah students, in just body paint.
Okay.
That's it.
Zero.
And it has caused a ruckus, as you will hear, Cap, in this clip.
From the waist up, so it's clear.
So
from the waist up.
I'm going to play from a Salt Lake City newscast. Hit it, Jorge.
Well, University of Utah says police are now investigating an incident at this weekend's football game where two women went topless in front of thousands of people. News specialist Shara Park joins us live from Rice-Eccles Stadium tonight with the story. Shara?
Yeah, Ashley, this incident drawing frustration from a lot of Utah fans who want to know why the university or security didn't stop these two women at the gate as they started to enter. Now, I do want to warn you that we do have images, some photos of these women we're going to show you, but they are blurred in certain areas.
Boo.
Now, this incident, as you mentioned, happened this weekend at the game against SUU here at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Several witnesses jumping online saying that they saw the two women outside the stadium topless, wearing body paint on their chests. Others saying they saw the women walking through security and sitting in their seats. Local YouTuber, family advocate, and Utah alumni Malia Johnson was at the game with her husband and two children and says she stood about 10 feet behind the topless women as they walked in. She says she went to security, who claimed they couldn't do anything about it, so she shared her frustration on Instagram.
A Utah football game is supposed to be a safe, family-friendly environment. There were thousands of children there. And I think for me, the issue about this and why I shared about it to create some noise, to create awareness about this in the first place, was because this is not a gender issue. This is not a discriminatory issue. This is about lewdness against minors.
All right, you guys are both parents. Scott Kaplan, George Sedano. Is this A, Cap, lewdness against minors, or harmless fun? What say you?
God. Come on, man, really? Now, look, it's in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Right.
So let's start off with that.
Okay.
If that's at a USC game, everybody's, did you see those hot chicks that weren't wearing shirts that had body paint? That was dope. But in Salt Lake, they're like, oh my goodness, there's boobies.
Yeah. You know? George, harmless or a crime against children?
I would say harmless, but I also believe that in this country in general, we are way too freaked out by nudity.
Like, I agree.
I think
this is such bleepery.
You go to other countries.
It is bleepery.
You go to other countries and they laugh at us at our quote-unquote puritanical views on
completely
stuff like
agree
this.
With you. I went to Italy with my wife, and we went to a pool at a hotel, and this young couple with two kids, probably 10 and 8,
yeah.
Kids come in, jump in the pool. Wife sits down next to me in the lounge chair, takes off her top. I look at my wife, and I say, literally, this is what they mean when they say, when in Rome.
Yeah.
All right, come on. Yeah. She goes, no way, not doing
why?
It.
What
for whatever reason, people in the United States are uptight about nudity.
They are. They're uptight is the word, but it just is what it is. But look, I think there's certain, like to your point, I think that if that happens here, I think less people care about it.
Yeah.
I think if it happens, let's say in New York, less people care about it. Miami, maybe.
For sure.
But it's like, you know, certain parts of the country, they're just going to get all up in arms over stuff.
All right.
I would also say, sorry, John, I would also say that outrage is our new national pastime.
Yeah, so that's
we
true.
Love it.
Yes.
We love it.
All right. The other thing we were talking about that I wanted to throw at you guys was that a lot of people make a big deal out of the fact this has been all over my feed. Leonardo DiCaprio broke up with his girlfriend, who was 25.
Yeah.
And some guy did, a Reddit page.
How old is he?
Leo. 47.
Yeah. Okay.
That he's had 9 relationships in the last 22 years, and no one has been over the age of 25. No matter, he just keeps getting older.
Wasn't Jack that way for a long time?
Yeah. I don't understand why this is a thing. As long as it's consenting, who cares?
Yeah. Right.
Why is this a thing, Cap?
I don't know, but
Andy says it's a little creepy.
Which
part? Is it creepy?
It starts getting creepy, I think.
I think you use the word skeevy, which is a fun word.
The older,
I mean, he's 47 now, but for the last, how many years did you say?
22. Look,
I mean, 22 years ago.
Right.
I mean,
well,
it was 20.
No, it was not. It was not always skeevy.
Or 25.
Yeah. Like, I'd forgotten about this because I saw this chart. I forgot that. I mean, like 2 decades ago, he and Giselle dated.
Right.
Oh, like, really? I'd forgotten
that. Tommy.
I'd forgotten that Giselle had actually
maybe,
been around.
You know, allegedly, Giselle and Tommy are not living together, so maybe, you know.
Well, you know, we were talking about that yesterday. Yeah. That.
But I don't blame her. Do you blame her?
No.
I totally
get
it.
This is where I'm going.
Yeah, go ahead.
That are you Team Tom or Team Giselle? Her version of events is, look, the guy has been telling me for years he's going to be more a part of the family, and he's going to retire. I finally get him to retire, and then he changes his mind and screws me over. Brady says, look, I only have so much time in my career. I can still play at a high level. I want to milk every ounce out of my talent. Based on just those sets of facts, Cap, are you Team Tom or Team Giselle?
I'm Team Giselle. And that probably surprises you, don't you think, George?
Because he's your boyfriend.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if I were in Tom Brady's shoes, I'd want to be doing what Tom Brady's doing. But if I were in Giselle's shoes, I'd be like, hey, like, we got all the money in the world. We've got all this fame. We're young people. We're healthy people. Let's go live life. I'm putting my whole life on hold so that you can play football. You've already won everything.
There's
there
nothing
is to win.
More for him to do
there's
in
no
this
upside.
Sport.
Yeah, there's no upside. Here's the thing. I can relate to this in a way because here's the other part of the equation, and Cappy and I talked about this briefly yesterday, John, and I'm curious to get your thoughts and Andy's thoughts. She's also kind of put her own career on hold. Not that she's doing a ton of modeling, though she certainly still can, but she's a brand in a lot
right.
of ways. And I would imagine there's a lot of business that she has put on hold because of that. And I can attest to that because I'll give you an example, a personal example. When I took the job at ESPN in 2013, when I went to Connecticut, okay, my wife was a news producer in Miami at the CBS O&O station. When we were going to move to Connecticut, she was going to go work in the New York office. And because of corporate HR rules or whatever, they could only give her a cost of living increase, not the salary she negotiated. So she said, you know what? We're betting on you. I'll go raise the kids. She spent 8 years before going back to work till just last year.
Right.
And now it's like, you know, we have to balance it, which is why I work from home some days, because I'm like, I can't tell my wife who put her career on hold for 8 years, oh, you can't go to work anymore because I've got to
be in the
studio every day.
Here's the other thing, too. People are going to say, well, Tom Brady, he only has X amount of years left that he can play football.
Yeah, that's me. I would say that.
Right, except she is a model.
Correct.
Which
there's
means
only X amount of years there,
exactly.
Too.
She's on the exact same clock that he's on.
How do you guys think this ends? Do you think Brady finishes the season in Tampa?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. But this is it.
And by the way, I bet you she's pissed because, you know, that story the Boston Globe had a couple of months ago about him trying to finagle his way to Miami and get part ownership. I'm sure, first of all, there's a huge, I mean, humongous Brazilian contingent in South Florida. It's like outside of Brazil, it's the largest contingent of Brazilians. So she would feel more at home there. Also, my guess is she could probably do a lot more business that she wants to do in Miami, because if you're a corporation in New York or L.A., you're probably going to pass through Miami. Chances are you're not passing through Tampa all that often.
You think next year when Brady's retired and he's working for Fox, you think that she's cool with it all?
Well, that's easy, though.
Yeah, but it's still...
He's not going to practice every day.
Right.
And, you know,
that's literally he's flying in on freaking Friday night or
probably
Saturday.
Probably private. And,
and he's in and he's out Sunday.
Probably by that time she'll be like, okay, listen, you've been here too much. Like, why don't you go a day early? Like, go interview some people
or
something.
But it's literally like 2 days.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, he lives this life 7 days a week during the football season.
Anina Marks was on with us earlier, and she says Chargers win tonight outright. And she's like the second or third person I've heard say it. Who do you like tonight, Cap?
Well, of course I like Kansas City. I mean, naturally. I mean, that's who I'm rooting for.
Yeah.
But listen, the Chargers.
We wanted to do a Charger, I don't want to call it anti-Charger. How about this? We wanted to do a Monday Night Football watch party when they play in October. So people can come watch Cappy either celebrate a potential loss of the Chargers or mock him when the Chargers win.
Yeah.
Who's the opponent on that night?
Denver Broncos. Denver. Yeah.
So here's the thing. I think this stat is that in the last 16 games, the Chiefs are 13-3 against the Chargers. But in the last four games that Justin Herbert's been the quarterback, they're 2-2. And the Chargers won at Arrowhead last year.
Yeah, so, and then almost won again. They lost in overtime here.
And the thing is that if you play in Arrowhead in November or December, weather can become a factor for the Chargers.
Not really in September.
But not tonight.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they're lucked out in that way.
All things being equal tonight, The Chargers have a great chance to go in there and pull the upset. If they do, you think that there's a hype train for the Buffalo Bills? Get ready.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Why have you guys talked about Greg Bergman's appearance on the Barrett Sports Media Producer podcast? Do you know of this?
I don't even know what happened.
Oh, my God.
I listened to it.
That's a big deal.
I listened to it on the drive in all 13 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, wait
short and sweet.
I listened 13 yesterday.
13 minutes.
Yeah.
Did you give Greg Popovich one word answers
there? They had 3 minutes of an intro first, so it was only 10 minutes.
So, now, Greg, I want to ask you some questions.
I'm afraid of this.
I wish we would have cut this up.
I cannot believe you haven't heard this, John.
I didn't even know it existed.
So much of this podcast is about
you. Listen to it on the way home.
Yeah, no, dude, it's about you.
It was nice stuff.
He talks about you. He basically says.
I said nice stuff.
You did say nice stuff, but he basically said you don't want to ever prep.
He doesn't.
That's interesting.
No, you don't want to talk. I said you don't like to talk before the show.
This week alone, because Mason's out.
Yeah.
I'm blocking everything.
Yeah.
So Andy's contributed a couple of things. Yeah. And so I always say to Greg, if you've got anything.
Yeah.
Yesterday I didn't.
Like three things.
I felt like those emails were a little longer than that, John.
Okay. But twice this week, Bergman has said to me, first time was, I got called into a meeting, can't do anything. Last night was, crap, I forgot.
I just forgot last night. Yeah.
So,
I did.
So the truth of the matter is, I'm the only one that's prepping.
Are you right. playing
No, it's different.
Are you playing golf this week?
Prep is different. That was not what the question was.
Here's the other thing. He started the conversation because I think he got guilted in because the host of the show likes baseball. So he asked him, how much Shohei Ohtani do you guys talk on the air?
I know. Why didn't you tell him the truth,
and
Bergie?
You lied to him.
I did not. We talk about it as much as we can, which is not much.
You didn't say that. He said we talk about it as much as we can.
We try and bring up Ohtani. We absolutely try and bring up Ohtani.
I would say once a week would be the right answer to that.
I also thought that was funny because I was like, you know, the perception of this guy, he's probably in New York, is that we're all talking about Ohtani out here when we're not.
Right.
And instead of Bergie going, you know, the truth of the matter is we don't really talk much about it at all.
Right.
It's kind of barely on the local radar. He kind of danced around it a little bit. Bergie, are you impressed that me and George both listen to this?
I am. I actually am impressed.
I saw it was only 13 minutes, so I figured I could listen to it.
For me, it was my warm-up on the
Peloton. But once I found out that Sedano listened to it, I know he was going to come on here.
Did you go 13 minutes double speed?
Of course.
No, just single speed.
That's how Trudell listens. He listens at 1.5 speed, and I'm like, what is wrong with you?
I could do it, but it's not fun.
I've landed on 1.25.
1.25?
1.25 I found is a really good compromise between you've got stuff to do, you're trying to fit it in, but it doesn't go by so fast that you don't absorb it.
Lindsay, can you start cutting up some of Greg Bergman on that podcast? I want to play that on our show today. Yeah,
specifically.
What else did you...
I mean, you can just ask me right now the exact same questions. I'll give you the same answers.
Okay, what else stood out to you?
So the guy who's interviewing Greg says...
Sean, you got to listen to
said,
this.
Well, what about a guy like John Ireland? And this is what he said. He goes,
he said like Michael Kay.
He said, John Ireland, who is the Lakers play-by-play voice,
how do you
like Michael Kay in New York, who's the Yankees play-by-play guy, he can't possibly see everything.
Yeah.
And Bergman said, and John, you should listen to this, Bergman said, actually, the thing about Ireland is he does see everything and he does read everything. And that's when he went into this whole tangent about how, but the thing Ireland is, he doesn't want to talk before the show.
I know,
He wants to be surprised on the show. So we email stories and we go through content, but in terms of talking before the show, he doesn't want to do that. He wants natural reaction, which I can appreciate that. So I thought it was,
Am I wrong?
I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Is that wrong? Good. I don't think that was wrong.
No, that wasn't wrong, but you did kind of intimate that he doesn't like to prep.
No, that's
I would argue
there's
that
emails
I do
back
more,
and forth.
I do more research than anyone on the show.
Yeah.
Also,
the funniest part, as we both have known, I've always said Greg is great on the air, and I feel like he gets bent out of shape about that because the guy asked him about like the producer path of being on the air as opposed to management, and Greg like. He said all the right things, but you can tell him, Greg, you're on the air a lot. It's good.
Yeah, but I mean, there is a path for people that are producers to go into management. That was the question. That was what the question was. But there is that path.
You said like it's really viable like three times.
Well, he said his answer was.
I tend to talk fast and just whatever comes off the top of my head, and sometimes I repeat myself.
The question was, what do you suggest to people who are producers who want to get into management? And Bergman had, I thought, a pretty thoughtful answer. He said, know how to do everything.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because he said he knows wide orbit and next. Doesn't Chris do all that stuff around
Chris
here?
Chris does all of that, but I'm very much involved with a lot of the things that happen around here.
Speaking of Chris, did one of you guys say this week that you've never been to Trader Joe's?
You did.
I didn't. No, I've been to Trader Joe's a lot.
I go to Trader Joe's every Sunday morning.
I heard Chris say on the...
Chris did say, but he got it wrong. I'm trying to figure out who he confused me with.
Because I saw it on social media.
I did say...
That you said you didn't
That I've never seen the Golden Girls.
Right.
Yep.
Which is shocking.
Which I know really offended you yesterday.
That is shocking.
Yeah.
But I still won your game.
Which was weird.
You did win the game.
Yeah, but it was lucky.
I was just going to say Trader Joe's has the best snacks.
Yeah, Trader Joe's, and there's a great one in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering who it is that's never been to Trader Joe's. Chris got it confused with somebody.
It ain't me.
I literally go every Sunday morning. My daughter and I go every Sunday morning.
Now, I can see Mason not going to Trader Joe's because it's pricey.
Yeah.
But I know he's been in there.
You know what, though? It's actually not that pricey, depending on what you want, because everything's price locked.
Yeah.
The only problem with Trader Joe's is some things that I want that I get at Vaughn's or Ralph's, they don't have.
Meats, chicken, stuff like that. That's less expensive at like the Vaughn's, the Ralph's, the place like that, because sometimes it goes on special. Everything, again, at Trader Joe's is price locked, but like fruits, vegetables, stuff like that, I think it's, if nothing else, competitive.
Yeah. My problem is coffee creamer. They don't have my coffee creamer at Trader Joe's. So then in the same shopping center I go to, there's a Trader Joe's and a Ralph's. So I go to Trader Joe's, and then I walk over to the Ralph's to get my coffee creamer.
In the same center?
Yeah, I know, and that
weird? Then you're set.
Bergman, why didn't you tell the Producers Podcast that we talk about Trader Joe's more than we talk about sports?
I kept trying to go towards that, same like, we're more about personality and do that, and he didn't ever come back to me and say, like, oh, let's follow up on that.
The guy's in New York, and it's like, you don't talk about sports 24-7?
Yeah.
What?
No, we shouldn't
He felt offended.
I wanted him to follow up, and he never followed up.
I was offended
for you. I was being a good guest.
Well, for 13 minutes, you were being a short guest.
Yeah. Ten minutes, 3-minute open.
All right, Super Crash Tracks brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. Both of them in studio.
Talking about Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani, not a lot of sports, and nothing serious.
Yes.
Next, Sedano and Cap, ESPN LA.